Welcome to this episode, one of my favourite yet. Today I'm chatting to Yudis, and it's a fascinating conversation about live export and its impact on global welfare. We explore essential questions like why do we need to export livestock and how is Australia influencing global animal welfare standards. Join us as we discuss food, family culture and the interconnectedness of these topics. Plus, we'll highlight the vital role Yudis plays in the industry.
So thank you so much again, Yudis, for joining the TLC. We love catching up with you and we'll get straight into it. The hardest question is three words to describe yourself. We ask everyone this. Did you come up with your three words?
Yes, I do. Previously, I need to hear what the other people first answer. So I come up with three words that I'm hoping for. I am a loyal person, honest, and I'm a curious person also. So yeah, that might be three words that describe myself. I hope that's the right words for me.
Yeah, I love that. And so who are you? And what do you do? So tell us about, you know, yourself.
My name is Yudhistira Pratama. I work for one of Australian exporter, but I based in Indonesia. The exporter name is Halin Australasian Livestock Traders. Our company based in Perth, and I'm overseeing their animal welfare operation in the market, including Indonesia. I've been working for this company for 9 years now, and still enjoy working with this company.
I love that. So what exactly do you oversee in Indonesia?
So we have a team in Indonesia. We oversee our animal welfare operation. Australia has the regulation, what we call it ESCAS or ISCAS, Exporter Supply Chain Assurance System. So we have to make sure the animal welfare operation are in place for all facilities, all supply chain where Australians sending the cattle to. So let's say we send to one importer and then we have to follow all the cattle to this importer, to the supply chain, including the abattoirs, until the death confirmation of the animal. So our role is to make sure that animal welfare meet the standard of animal welfare of Australian standard.
And how do you do that? So we hear a lot about people who oversee the animal until the point of slaughter, but in market. So a lot of people ask this question. The ship pulls up, we unload it. But what happens next?
Yes. So in Indonesia, we in charge from the discharge until the point of slaughter. We have several staff. So usually exporters like Halin, we hire staff in Indonesia locally, so we could oversee the discharge operation when the ship alongside in Indonesian port. And then we have to check about the truck standard. It has a sawdust and it has a good setup of bridge. And also after that, we go to the feedlot to make sure they have plenty of feed, plenty of room, and then also water. Don't forget, water is really important in the feedlot. So in Indonesia, we have to follow this, and then we have to visit the feedlots at least every 2 or 3 months. And then after that, we also visit facilities, what we call it as abattoir, and then abattoir or slaughterhouse. And when we visit the abattoirs, we have to check their standards about the SOP and also facility and also the way how they do slaughter or animal handling. So we check everything. That's why Halin has many staff in Indonesia, because as for information that we have such a huge supply chain through Indonesia. And if you know, Indonesia has big islands, so we have big coverage of area. It's important for us to have many animal welfare officers who oversee this operation.
And so that's pretty incredible that one Australian exporter, and there's a few exporters for those who don't know, but one Australian exporter does so much in Indonesia. So is that a lot of jobs for you guys in Indonesia?
Yeah, of course, of course. Especially like many people working for exporters and importers as animal welfare officers. So we call it animal welfare officer or AWO, animal AWO. And then these people who are always going to the abattoirs and facilities or feedlots, and we are the one who ensuring the animal welfare operation in the market. Yeah.
And so how do you guys get trained? And you were saying before that you're really unique in the sense that you've seen everything. You've been trained to sail on the ship with the Australian cattle, you load the ship in Perth, like you do everything. So how do you guys get trained? Yeah.
I was lucky enough. When I was in university, it was back 2013. I got a chance to join NPCA Indonesia Australia Pastoral Program. I was a student, six semester at the time, and then I came to Australia. I came to the cattle station in Australia. I learned about animal handling, animal welfare, horse riding. So I see everything in Australia at the time when I was a student. And then I was lucky enough after that I joined the company after I graduated from the university. And after I graduated from university, when I joined, I was also lucky again because the company where I work for now, Halin, we have really good staff and managers. I have a John Cunnington. I have Fiona Mary Baird at the time. And after that, I have Pat Cole, and who are, you know, like the leaders of our industry. And they really teach me a lot. Like they have been teaching me a lot. They have shaped my careers until today. They give me opportunity to join many trainings in both in Indonesia or in Australia. Let's say in Australia, I join also the Seaport Stock Person course by Life Corp. So I become a stockman. And then also in Indonesia, we have several trainings conducted by several organizations like LEP MLA. LEP is a live export program by MLA. They usually conducted a training in Indonesia, such as Magnum Cash Knocker operators, animal handling, and slaughter process, etc. So I was lucky enough to join and also experience these processes.
And so you said you did the NTCA Indonesian exchange program. So I've not, I'm originally from WA. I have heard of it now, but what is that? And what did you study at uni? So you said you did that straight after uni.
Yes, I did study about animal husbandry or animal science in Pajajaran University.
Yep.
So I was lucky enough to be selected one of the 20 participants to join like internship program. It was sponsored by NTCA, Northern Territory Cattlemen Association.
Yep.
And then we had 6 week placement in one of the cattle station in Australia. I went to Victoria River Down Station. That's not far from Catherine. And then I had also the training preparation in Catherine Rural College in Mataraka Station over there. So I really get a good opportunity with the other 19 participants. It was really good program. It was really good initiative by NTCA at the time. And then it has been continued until last year. So this initiative that shaping many people in the industry, in the cattle industry, the future generation of the industry.
That's amazing. And so all of this training is because Australia exports cattle to Indonesia. So because of that, we have all of these things.
Yes, correct. So the program was started back 2012. I was the second batch at the time. And it was really good time for me also because Australia has been exported to Indonesia for I think more than 40 years now. And then so we kind of have a good relation between Indonesia and Australia, especially in the cattle industry. The program initiated to create the future leaders of Indonesia-Australia cattle industry.
That's incredible. So you just said Australia has been exporting cattle to Indonesia for a really long time. So why is Australian beef important to you guys in Indonesia?
Australian beef is really important to Indonesia because Australian beef has a really good quality of cattle that you guys exported to Indonesia. And also second one is we are really good neighbors. We are only 5 days apart if we send the cattle from Australia to Jakarta. So we have a really good advantage each other. We can feed the cattle. You guys can breed the cattle. Indonesian good for feeding because we feed the raw materials. We have raw materials in Indonesia, but in Australia, I'm really understand that as long as my understanding is Australia is really good for breeding the cattle. You guys very effective on breeding the cattle. So that is really complementary each other.
And so we spoke briefly before about how you're in charge of overseeing the welfare. Well, you've traveled on the ship, you've loaded a ship, you also oversee it in country. So loading the trucks once they discharge, traveling to the feedlot, checking that they're okay, checking in with the feedlot, then seeing the facilities at the abattoir. What's next is the wet markets. Now in Australia, we are very boring. We have supermarkets. So some people might not know, what is a wet market?
Yes, wet markets. You can describe wet in really right way, like really wet. But yes, wet market is a traditional market, basically. It's a wholesale market. So where most of the people buy meats for their families. So we buy the meats usually from the wet market. So it's like a supermarket in traditional way. So where people can do the bargain in supermarket, there is a fixed price. In wet market, we don't have a fixed price. We can do bargain. Let's say I want to buy 1 kg. Maybe the price is for 13 IUD per kg. But if you do want to buy 50 kg for, let's say, for a party or maybe for family gathering, and then you can do the bargain. So that kind of like one of Indonesian culture. We love bargaining things. And the culture also is we love to meet, to socialize with the people. So in the wet market, you meet the people, you meet the meat directly. You also can interact directly with the seller or between seller and buyer.
And so very different to here in Australia. So it's a huge part of buying your food is understanding who's selling it, where it comes from, knowing that it comes from an animal, which in Australia, we have self-serve checkouts. So we talk to no one. We go and grab our meat off the shelf and scan it.
Yeah.
So very different. Imagine. Very yes. Different to Indonesia.
Yep.
And we spoke earlier just about how, so it's an important part of your culture and people think religion, but it's not religion. It's a culture in Indonesia. So to barter, to have that person, but also your whole family. I believe it's a family outing going to the fresh markets or traditional markets. Is that right?
Yes, correct. So sometimes family also, we bring our kid to the wet market to buy meats or to buy groceries from the wet market. And also, just one more thing, Tiff, about the wet market concept. So this day in Indonesia also, there is a development about wet markets. Wet market usually for people who wants to buy a bigger quantity. But now I would like to tell you also about there is a smaller market, a version of wet market. It's like a sweet shop, we call it. And then so we sometimes, if it's not from the wet market, we also buy from a smaller market, which is like a sweet shop. In that sweet shop, maybe they don't sell the whole meats. They only sell let's say 50 kg of one part of the meat, and then he will sell it to the day. So not like in wet market, one shop can sell one head, let's say. So we love to go to the wet market when we see everything is really fresh. Everything just killed that night, you know, like not like frozen from the what you call it, from the fridge or something like that. So we love to see the freshness of the meat. That's why we love wet market also.
And I believe another important thing for you guys is using the entire animal. So comparing us again to Australia, we're very we like our rump steak, we like our T-bone steak, we like specific cuts. Whereas I believe in Indonesia, you believe in using the entire animal and, you know, appreciating every single part of that animal. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. We don't waste anything from the cattle in Indonesia. So let's say what you want with the bone. We also process the bone for a soup or maybe for selling to a big manufacturer, let's say cosmetic, etc. And then also what we want to talk about, the tongue or maybe the internal of the cattle, you know, everything we could eat and we could maximize in the body of the animals. So we love to not wasting anything from the cattle. So that's Indonesia.
And I want to, another sort of thing we talk about is refrigeration in Indonesia.
Yes.
Now, I believe you'd obviously know more that there's a really small percentage of people in Indonesia who don't have refrigeration. But it's mostly for you guys about that fresh product, understanding it comes from an animal, using the entire carcass. Is that right?
I don't think it's related anymore to these days in Indonesia. Most people already has refrigerators. It's everyone can afford to buy refrigerators, but that's the thing in Indonesia. Indonesian people loves to buy everything fresh from the market. So we love to buy and to see that the meat is hanging, the meat still fresh, the meat has not a water, what you call it, like attached to it, like leaking from the meat itself, you know. We love the freshness. We love to see the red color of it. So that's our preference about the meat. For the refrigerators, yes, maybe in the past, not many people cannot afford to buy refrigerators for their meats, but now I don't think it's relatable anymore. So the reason why I also read the journals a couple of days ago about why do people want to buy a fresh meat from the wet market because of the freshness, and they can also do the bear game, etc. So that's the main reason why we do the love fresh beef.
And supermarkets like Woolworths or Coles, is that becoming a growing thing in Indonesia, or do you think your values will always see you going to that fresh market?
Yes, of course. During COVID, I saw the webinar. It's saying about the cold chain is become bigger, especially during COVID. The consumer become adapted to the new way how they buy things. People love to buy from supermarket or even online these days. But for the fresh beef, it still has a special market to it. It's like a niche market where people want to buy fresh beef. And second one, maybe the people who manufacture meatballs. Do you know about meatballs, Steve?
No. Well, only a teeny tiny bit. That's important in Indonesia, isn't it? But yeah.
Yes. Meatballs is one of the important things in Indonesia because that's one of the highest market for the beef. Meatballs, it's contents of beef mainly, sometimes mixed with chicken also, but mostly with the beef. To make meatballs, we believe that it is better to use a fresh beef compared to the frozen beef. So they will always keep this fresh beef important to the market of Indonesia.
What's the Indonesian word for that traditional meal?
We call it bakso.
Bakso. I have heard people talk about that. It's a very an important meal for you guys.
Here, that's really important.
We're very boring. Vegemite toast in Australia.
I don't like Vegemite anyway.
Now, I want you to describe what a fresh market looks like. You know, do you use all of the meat that's hanging there every day? How often does that fresh meat come in? Like, some people listening may have never been to a market overseas.
Yes, fresh market. So the or traditional market. So it's like a wholesale market, and then where the people store their vegetables and they store their meats. Let's say for the meats they hang. So usually this is what happened during the night. The abattoir will kill the animal. They will slaughter the cattle. And it was like 10 p.m. the 10 p.m. to start, and then usually 2 or 4 a.m. to end. They slaughter the cattle. So after that, they chop or they butcher the meats in the wet market, and they sell it early morning, like directly after it's arrived at the wet market. Mm. At the wet market, they sell it some seller, they already sell it like tenderloin, sirloin, or maybe oxtail, something like that. But also some of them like just sell it the whole meats also. So it depends on what you need. Everything can be sold over there, including ovals or maybe what you call it, the head of the cattle, or maybe the skin itself. Also, we process the skin of the cattle for crackers.
Okay. Yeah, right. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. We process the skin for the crackers. It might be sounds weird to you guys, but we love that. And we the skin is the leather. The skin is not only for the products like the jacket or anything like that, also for food.
Oh, see, it's interesting. Like, you guys in Indonesia are so much more sustainable than what we are in Australia. We have a lot of food waste, even in processing animals, because we're so picky. And it's funny you talk about traditional markets, because we call them kind of farmers markets, and they're just becoming popular again in Australia. People like going to the fresh markets, whereas that's something you've always done.
Yes, we always done it. Like, I usually buy groceries at least once a week. So we buy once a week from the fresh market for our stock. And then sometimes also, when I talk about the smaller wet market version, which is a sweet shop, we also buy from their sweet shop.
I find that so interesting. I think I would love to go to the markets every single week and buy all my food fresh. Now, another question I wanted to ask you was about the Helene Exchange Program. And I believe you were also involved in a Indigenous Australian like exchange program, and they went to Indonesia.
Yes, correct. So Helene did 2 exchange programs. We conducted on 2018 and 2019. We conducted 2 parts of it. And then so we joined program with the Indigenous Land Corporation, or ILC at the time we call it. And then we bring several Indigenous from Australia to come and see our operation in Indonesia. So they experience the way how we look after Australian animal in Indonesia. And also we show them the way how we look after the cattle in the Indonesian slaughterhouse. So they experience many things. It's part of our transparency also to the community, to Australian side, that this is what we do. This is what we've been doing, you know, that we are looking after Australian animal really well in Indonesia. And at that time, after they came to Indonesia, Australian Cattle Station also hosted several people from Indonesia. So I bring them also to Australia. We went to Broome at the time, to Kimberley area. And we learned how we teach the Indonesian people from Indonesia, to teach them about animal handling, animal welfare, and also about mastering. They experience also mastering in Australia. So it kind of good understanding each other. So not only about the experience, but also it's about understanding cultures. That's one of the most important things about this exchange program.
Absolutely. So what did you think of mustering on a cattle station?
It was fun, and I always want to do it again. I do remember my first mustering when I was in VRD station back 2013. It was unbelievable. It was really still in my mind, and I want to experience that again one day.
It would have been just incredible to see so much land. There's just huge cattle stations compared to Indonesia, where it's quite busy, I suppose, you know, to VRD.
Yeah. It's kind of like different things to see and experience, you know, like, oh my God, like really good.
And another question, you've recently sailed part of your accreditation. You were saying, now lots of people listen to our podcast who want to become stock people and sail on the ships. What tips do you have that you've learnt from your mentors on things to do on the, you know, what tips do you have about like life on the ship?
Maybe I will give two tips for everyone who wants to become a stockman on board. I am not experienced for this thought, okay, but I only did maybe six or seven voyages to some countries, Indonesia and also Malaysia. But maybe there are two tips I will give to any new stockman. First of all, of course, hard work. Second of all, you must be thorough or maybe details. I would say you have to do at least two things. Why hard work? Because, you know, you are responsible for those animal, and then it's a serious job to do, but don't forget to enjoy also the job. That's my advice for me.
And why do you like working, you know, within live export or, you know, working with animals in Indonesia? What is it about the job you like?
I love many things. I'm not growing up from a family who are farmers. I'm not. But when I was in university and then I had experience with this industry at that time, I was thinking that I want to commit it to the industry. And since then, I found a really good company. And what I really enjoy, I mentioned this in the live exchange on 2019 in Darwin. 2021 in Darwin, 22. So this industry has really good support from many people and also from many communities, and we like to support each other. So I think I'm really surrounded like really good people, really good people. And that's one thing that make me, I want to contribute again to this industry, and I really have been enjoying doing this.
That's good. And do you think, this is a big question, do you think that Australia being involved in the live export industry is improving welfare of animals in Indonesia?
In Australia is not exporting cattle to the market. We also export the standard. We export the welfare. We increase the welfare also in the market. I do believe that when I talk to people who are maybe more senior than me, who involved in this industry since a while ago, they said that the industry is improving well. Even though when I realized when I started to come to the industry, I do realize that the welfare is one of the most important thing to do in Indonesia. We believe that it could increase also to the quality of the meats and quality of the people. But when we treat the cattle well, it also will come back to us as the people who are treating the cattle itself. So that's really important.
No, definitely. Do you have anything else you would like to share with any Australians listening about life in Indonesia?
Yes, so in Indonesia, I would like to share small stories about how we look after the cattle in Indonesia. So for your information, that many companies who are involved in this industry in Indonesia, they are hiring really good people, like exporters. They may have at least one, or like our company, we hire 5 people, including myself. And also, like, it's not only exporter, there are also importers who hire many staff to looking after Australian animal in Indonesia. So we are working together. We are looking after the animals, so we work together. And one thing, Tiff, in Indonesia, we have a group, what we call it, Forum Animal Welfare Officer Indonesia. So this forum consists from facility staff, facility management, abattoir owner, and exporters and importers also. We work together to make sure that animal welfare can be implemented in a good way in Indonesia. So we have been supported by the industry also, Tiff. Like, let's say Australian Live Export Association, ALEC, also support us. Now LiveCop also support us. Wildland also, we work together also with Wildland, like the collective, etc. So, and also don't forget that we have also many other organizations like Puspindo, which is the Importers Association. Plus also, let's say we do have the live export program from MLA, which we work currently together with them. So we always try our best to looking after Australian animal in Indonesia, and we hope to continue our contribution, and we hope that we can collaborate with more organization, both in Indonesia and Australia, so we can improve animal welfare standard. We can keep this industry sustained in both market.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think as an Australian, I didn't realize how much we were involved and how many jobs we created and the influence we were having, how much change we were making on animal welfare in Indonesia. So it's really good to hear that. I just had a quick question before we finish up. I grew up on a farm. You said you didn't grow up on a farm, but what does a Indonesian farm look like?
Indonesian farms, mostly they consist of a smallholder farmers. Usually they only have 5 or maybe maximum 10 head per farm, one farmer. Yeah. And we usually have a domesticated cattle. It's different from Australian Brahman cattle, where we do have a domesticated cattle. So the smaller farms, they don't sell the animals when they don't want to. So they become a saving money. So let's say I am a farmer. I have 10 animals and I have a doctor who wants to go to school. And then let's say it's enough to sell 2 animals, and then I will sell those 2 animals to the wet market, a traditional market, and this cattle will be sold and then will be paid for the school. So they're kind of like the figure of Indonesian farmers this day. But also don't forget, it's only for traditional domesticated cattle. It's different from the Australian cattle, which they usually go to a bigger feedlots in Indonesia, at least minimum, I would say 500 or 1,000 head capacity. So it's very much a
different
situation. Yeah.
So the average farmer has 5 head of cattle. So if we didn't have Australian beef coming into Indonesia, there just wouldn't be enough beef there on farms in Indonesia to feed everyone.
Yeah, it won't enough. We do supply from ourselves. We are not self-sufficient for the beef cattle, so we kind of have to import from the other countries, like mainly from Australia. So it's for the local cattle. It's mainly also for the Hari Raya, we call it. Hari Raya, it's where we need to sacrifice the cattle, and that's where the main market for these local animals. So, yes.
Yeah, okay. And so it's interesting you were saying before that because they only have 5 head of cattle, they're usually a lot quieter compared to Australian cattle. So I suppose that's why it's so important. Australia does so much training in Indonesia on how to handle cattle because, well, very different to a big station up here, isn't it?
Yes, very big difference. When I give the training to the abattoirs or to the feedlots workers in Indonesia, I always have 2 pictures. Australian Cattle Station and also Local Farmers Indonesia, they are completely different, and then they are completely different how to handle or how to manage it. So that's one thing that we need to transfer the knowledge to the workers in Indonesia.
No, that's so fascinating. Anything else to add before we finish today? I know I've learned so much.
Thank you so much for the opportunity from UTIF and also the EPSA Collective. I always saying that in every seminars or every webinars that I've been doing, I said that we need to do more collaboration in the industry. We need to work together for a sustainable industry.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's important for not only us in Australia, but clearly live exports really important for you guys there in Indonesia. So no, definitely. Thank you so much.
All right. No problem. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you so much, Yudis. I honestly, my mind is blown and I love talking to you and learning from you. Do you know anyone who you would love to hear on our podcast? Message us on any social media platforms as we would love to talk to them.